How's everybody doing this morning? That's great to hear. It's been on my heart a lot lately what our relationships with Jesus should look like. And I think there are many stories in the Gospels where Jesus paints that picture for us. And one of my favorite stories is the parable of the prodigal son. And so that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. I'm going to walk with you through the text and read a little bit as I go because it's kind of long, but the words should be up on the screen behind me if you want to kind of follow along. And we're going to be in Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 32. And Jesus said, "There was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to the father, 'Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me.' And he divided his property between them." So here we have a family, and it tells us that there's a man who is the father and that he has two sons. And so the younger son walks up to his dad and says, "Give me my share of property that's coming to me. Give me my inheritance. That's all I want from you." In that culture then, and still probably today, this would have been the same thing as him walking up to his dad and saying, "I wish you were dead." He's saying to his father that all he wants is his money, that that's more important to him than his father's love and their relationship as father and son. The surprising thing here is that the father doesn't beat him, which is probably what would have normally happened had a son in that time and culture asked his father such a selfish and thoughtless question. But the father allows the younger son to make that choice for himself, and he goes on ahead and divides up the property. The son here is choosing to go in search of what he thinks is life-giving, what he thinks will satisfy the desires of his heart. There is selfish intent and selfish will here. He tells the father that he doesn't believe that what the father has and where he is when he is with the father is the best thing for him. He's saying thanks, but no thanks. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all that he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. So then the younger son gathers up all of his property that his father has given him, and he walks away from his family and the love of his father in search of something better. And then he goes blows all of his money living like a playboy. And it's funny, when I talk to my youth about this story, I always say that I think the younger son is living the life of what it looks like in a rap music video. And so if you've seen a rap music video, you know what I'm talking about. If you've never seen one, then I was going to show one today, but I figured I'd probably get fired. But that's what it looks like if you want to check that out. So I can imagine there were a lot of women, a lot of good food, a lot of fine wine. And not only did he spend all of his money, but it says the place where he was experiencing a severe famine. So it was kind of piling on. And it says he began to be in need. In this younger son's heart, he began to realize that what he thought would bring him joy and happiness wasn't all that he thought it would be. In fact, it left him more empty and unfulfilled than before. His well had run dry. He couldn't find anything that was like the love of his father. He was in so much need that he hired himself out to this guy to feed his pigs. And he got so hungry that he wanted to eat the food that the pigs ate. And pigs were considered unclean animals. Jewish people wouldn't go near pigs. So this was the worst possible, most dehumanizing situation the younger son could have possibly been in. And then it goes on to say that no one gave him anything. Where were all of his friends that he was partying with? He wasn't partying by himself. Every one of his friends that he was partying with a few weeks ago had abandoned him when he ran out of money. They only loved him for what he had and for what he could do for them. This guy was tired, broke, hungry, and lonely. He had hit rock bottom, and there was nothing left of himself. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.'" And so the younger son is at the point of no return here. And he says to himself, "My father's servants have more than enough to eat. Why am I sitting here perishing? If his servants have food, the least my father will do is make sure I have a little bread to eat, right?" In this moment, he realizes that even though he has lost his way, that he still is the father's son, and that means something. Then before he leaves to go back home, he tries to think of an explanation for his father. He wants to come up with the right thing to say to his father so that he will accept him back. He still has this feeling that he has to do something or prove himself or say the right thing in order to regain his father's love. And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servants, "Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to celebrate. So now you can imagine the younger son is walking back home, practicing in his head what he's going to say to his father over and over again. Like a kid who's just done something wrong or bad and wants to make sure that he says the right things to make sure he doesn't get in trouble, to say the right thing to sort of lessen the blow of his punishment. So he has this big speech planned for his father, hoping for the best but expecting the worst. And Scripture tells us that while the son was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion. And then he ran towards his son and kissed him. The father ran to his son. The miraculous thing is that the father was waiting and watching for his son, even after all the younger son had put him and his family through. He doesn't wait on him to get there and then say, "I told you so." He runs toward him with arms wide open when he sees that his son is coming home, and he kisses him. What compassion and what an expression of unconditional love. The father is overcome with a joy that is unexplainable. The father never once turned his back on the son, but was waiting patiently for him to realize where he belonged and that his love was better. The son then starts to plead his case to the father, and the father interrupts him and says to his servants, "Let's throw my son a party." He doesn't even let the son finish what he is saying, and he's not interested. His love for the younger son isn't based on anything the younger son could ever say to him. There's immediate forgiveness because of the younger son's humility and selflessness. And Scripture doesn't say that the younger son left again. He was back in the family for the long haul. A changed life occurred here. He would never feel the desire to leave his father's love again. There also isn't punishment or wrath of any kind. There's simply a father so full of compassion and joy that his son has returned and realized where he belongs, that with him is the best thing. And he tells his servants to go get the finest robe and the family ring and some shoes for his son's feet. And then let's eat a fattened calf and celebrate together simply because my son is home. The son has been reconciled back into his father's family. The trust that was once broken is now healed, and only through the father's great love. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of his servants and asked, what these things meant. And he said to him, "Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf, because he has received him back safe and sound." So everyone is in the house eating, full of joy and laughter, and having a great time at this party. And the older son is out in the field just working away. And he begins to hear music and dancing coming from the house, so he calls one of his servants and asks him what's going on. And the servant says, "Your brother has come home, and your dad's throwing him a party." But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him. But he answered his father, "Look, these many years I have served you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him." And he said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is now found." The older son is overcome with jealousy and anger over what is going on and refuses to go into the party. Then Scripture tells us once again that it is the father who comes out. The father realizes that his older son isn't at the party and goes after him. He is obviously concerned as to where the older brother is and why he is not experiencing this amazing thing with the family. So he goes out in search of the son and finds him and asks the son why he isn't in there celebrating. And this version says that the father came out and entreated his son, which means to ask earnestly or anxiously. From the tone of this word, he wants the older son to be at the party. He doesn't say, "Oh, well, you're lost," and go back inside. Then the son says to his father, "I have served you for so long, I have never disobeyed you. I'm always on good behavior, and you haven't ever done anything for me. You've never thrown me a party. But my brother lives like a playboy for a few months and wastes your property. And you have given him fine clothes and the finest of food. And you even gave him the family ring. And on top of all that, you're throwing him the party of the year." The older son is so full of pride and jealousy. And once again, there's a selfish will and a selfish intent here, just like the younger son. He feels that since he does more for the father and behaves better, that he somehow deserves certain rights or entitlements. He feels like he has earned more. It's all about him and what he has done. He wants the father to desperately know everything that he has done for him. There's a party going on right in front of him, a few hundred yards away, and he's missing it because he's too proud and self-righteous. And it's blinding him to what the father's love is all about. And then the father replies, "You are always with me. All that is mine is yours. You're in the family, son. But your brother was lost and now he is found. He was dead and now he is alive. It was fitting to celebrate. And so now, how does this story fit in with our story? The story looks familiar. It looks a whole lot like our own relationships with Jesus. Are we the younger son? Are we the older son? Do we begin our Christian walk as the younger son, and as we grow older, become the older son? And those are things to think about. But the point I want to make this today is that both the younger and the older son miss the point. Neither son gets it. They're both not at the party. There's a broken relationship between father and child in this story. There's a broken relationship between us and God. A relationship that is only reconciled through his great love that he revealed to us in Christ Jesus. And only that. We can't mess up bad enough to not be welcomed back home like the younger son. And we can't do enough good things to earn that love like the older son. The father's love is unconditional for both sons in this story. I would say that many of us are older sons that sit around and say, "Well, at least I'm not the younger son." But honestly, the older one's probably worse off in this story. The younger son abandons his father's love and his home And it takes that for him to realize just how great his father's love is and how much that he needs it. He searched for something that wasn't there and then wholeheartedly came to the realization of the need of his father's love, recognition of his father's love in response to his father's love. Then he came home to party with dad. But the older son is overcome with jealousy and anger, and he is too proud to realize that he's missing the party too. The younger son leaves home, misses it completely, and comes back. But what might be worse is that the older son is in the backyard the whole time thinking he's home. But he's just as far gone, if not further, than the younger son. His eyes are so blind to his father's love because he thinks that all the good behavior and all of the good deeds that he has done has somehow earned him that love from his father. The older son tries so hard to get his father to understand and to know everything that he has done for his father. But for us, the Father has done the work, not ourselves. We love because he first loved us. He pursues, he initiates, he unconditionally gives his love. And so what's our response to that? We are often like the younger son, turning our faces from the love of God and the things we think, say, and do on a daily basis. But like the older son, a lot of us think that we have all of the answers and have it all figured out. And as we are the good Christians who go to church and who are better than those other people, then somehow we're holy. But that's not it. Our worth cannot be proved by ourselves. He proved our worth to us on the cross. It is clear that we are worthy to be called his sons and daughters, but do we want to? Our relationships with Jesus are not based on the things we do for him. And if our service as Christ followers is motivated by that, then we need to take a step back. We serve and love others only because God first loved us, and we are pouring out of that. Not for his approval or to prove anything to ourselves or others. Both sons are selfish in this story. Both are about themselves and not the Father. But only one is humble enough to realize it. We make Christianity and even worship and the way we read Scripture all about us and what can we get out of it a lot of the times. Instead of about who God is and what he has done and how we can respond to that. Jesus was actually telling the Pharisees in this story that everyone is welcome to the party. We see earlier in verses 1 and 2 of this chapter that tax collectors and sinners were coming near to Jesus, and the Pharisees got grumpy and upset because they thought they were the awesome and important ones. You know, why is Jesus eating with these losers? We're better than them. So Jesus tells them this parable to say, hey, look, both of you are missing the party, but at least the tax collectors and sinners recognize their need for my love. That's why he told the parable in the first place. The question is, are we in search of something better like the younger son, or are we blinded by our own self-righteousness like the older son? And the answer lies right in the midst of a father's love that is so merciful and beautiful. How can either son not gravitate towards it? How can we not gravitate towards that love? What does this passage tell me about who God is and what is my response to that? God does the pursuing. He runs out to meet the younger son, and he realizes the older son isn't at the party and misses him too, so he goes out in search of him. That must mean he pursues my heart too. No matter which end of the spectrum I'm on. He runs out to meet me when I realize that where I'm searching for love and worth, I can't find it. And the second I begin to think that I have anything to do with any of this, he nudges me a little and says, come back inside. Both of these sons are so far away from the abundant, loving, life-giving, sustaining, providing, merciful, compassionate, redeeming embrace of God's loving arms. Let's stay in that place That sounds like a place I want to be. That sounds like something I can trust in. God's desire for us is to just simply rest in his loving arms through a relationship with his son Jesus. And trust that he's got us. Trust that he himself is the best thing. Because there's a joyful, life-giving party happening that never stops, and we might be missing it. God so clearly reveals to us through his son Jesus and throughout Scripture that he loves us and wants us with him. And no matter how bad we're missing it, he never gives up on us. The question I think we have to ask ourselves, God is in love with me, do I love him back? Is the loving embrace of who he is and what he has done enough? Just like that last song, all this is about receiving. That's all we have to do. Being a Christian is so simple, but we make it so hard. We want to check off our to-do list and add up all of the ways we serve and behave well, like the older son. And if we feel like that's going to be too much work, then we just run away like the younger son. Instead, why don't we just love our Father, the one who gave us life, takes care of us, as of all those other things that I just mentioned. And why don't we forget ourselves for a second and let our Father hug us and kiss us and love us and tell us that we are worth it and that there is no place that he wants us other than in his loving arms at the party. And let him be who he is and shape us into who he created us to be. And let his grace be enough for us each day. And trust in the warm embrace of his arms each day. Instead of searching for love and acceptance somewhere else, or instead of looking at Christianity as a list of rules or behavior modification, both sons were searching for their father's love in different ways and in different places, and both failed and both missed the mark. But the father was standing there the whole time with his arms wide open, waiting for them both to come to the party. A father's love is found in Christ Jesus. If we stay as close to him as we can every day, then we won't try to live up to something that we can't, and we won't run either. We'll be right where we need to be, resting in the midst of a father's love.
Thank you so much, Alex. I think that Alex has shared with us a message this morning that we all know at one level, but that I think we all constantly need to hear again and again. I don't know about you, but some of the most powerful experiences with Christ that I've had in my life have come when I've been reminded that all the stuff we try to do, all the things we worry about, they're not what it's all about. It's about the love of the Father for us. We constantly need to hear that gospel again and again. And if you stop and think about it, how hard is it for us really to embrace it? Because we know that God loves us, and yet when we face a health crisis, are we able to trust that embrace? We know that God loves us, but we see somebody else that isn't behaving the way we think they ought to, but are we able to trust in his embrace? In so many different ways, we need to allow ourselves to be held by our Father. Alex said the question was, we know that God loves us, do we love him back? I'd say maybe the question is, we know that God loves us, but do we really, really accept that love? And this morning, we can, because God still stands with his arms open wide, ready to run out to meet us. And that's why we offer a time of response. Our hymn today is Softly and Tenderly, hymn number 414. And if there's some way that you need to simply rest in the love of the Father, to experience his embrace, won't you come and let me pray with you so that we can receive his love as we were meant to. Let's stand as we sing together.